Here are a few quick tips from Chad, children and adults with ADHD. Parenting children with ADHD can be a challenge. Here are a few tips you can try today. Praise your child more than criticize. Consistency is key and helps with remaining focused. Seek support. Remember, it takes a village, and you don't have to do it alone. Get help from Chad. Quick tips are brought to you by Chad, children and adults with ADHD. Get more tips on chad.org. Visit, join, get involved.
This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Hey, hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and Attention Coach Jeff Copper. And tonight, we're going to give you permission to play, and with us in our virtual studio is the Kirsten Milliken, sometimes guest, sometimes co-host, sometimes just friend and confidant. We've got a great show for you tonight. Real quickly, it's Wednesday, February the 24th in the year 2016 at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Let's jump to some announcements real quick so we can really start playing. First, the Attention Talk Network has got over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming. It's exhausting and overwhelming to find stuff out there. That's why we put together, or at least I put together, my top 10 list of my favorite Attention Talk Radio interviews. And you can download that by going to www.digcoaching.com/ATR. And a little hint, there's a bonus in there, so it's really like 20. So go check that out. Let's see. Coming up on February the 27th, and if you're in the Philadelphia area, the Chester County Main Line CHAD chapter is hosting a half-day ADHD conference. Again, it's in Ashton, Pennsylvania. This year's conference is titled An Integrative Approach to ADHD, Mind, Body, and Modern Medicine. The key to this is Dr. Anthony Rostain is one of the keynotes, one of the big presenters, and you got to go check him out. One of the best interviews we've done at Attention Talk Radio was with him. It took me literally 4 years to get a professional to come on and talk about ADHD medications and the are they addictive or are they not, and are they abused or are they not. And so it was a great interview, and he's a great speaker. So if you're if you're in that area, go check it out. Now, let me give you the website. It's a little bit of a long one here. It's ccmlchad2016.eventbrite.com. I am going to consult with them next year to shorten that URL, but check that out. Also, Dr. Barclays asked me to promote ADHDfund.com, a crowdsourcing website to raise money for small-scale research worldwide. And the big one, this one is what I want to emphasize is, and we have the co-chair with us tonight, that's Kirsten. She's putting together the International ADHD Professional Conference hosted by the ADHD Coaches Organization. Years past, it was the ACO, the ADHD Coaches Organization Conference, and this is a brainchild of Kirsten, and I got hats off. It's coaching is just not for coaches. This is a professionals conference. We'll be talking about coaches, but it's for educators, mental health professionals, parents, et cetera. So go check it out. It's at It's in Reston, Virginia, from April the 28th to May the 21st. So check it out by going to ADHDProfessionalsConference.com. And with that, real quickly, Dr. Milliken is a licensed clinical psychologist, a certified ADHD coach, and founder of PlayDHD. She has a private practice in Portland, Maine, and offers evaluations and coaching for individuals with ADHD. She is focused The large part of her practice in working with entrepreneurs and other adults with ADHD so that they can capitalize on their strengths and enjoy successes and happiness in all the aspects of their lives. Her new book, Play ADHD, Permission to Play, is a prescription for adults with ADHD. It's available on Amazon.com or our website, and I really encourage you to check out our website at playadhd.com. And so, Kirsten, welcome to the show.
Whew! That was a lot. Oh, my God.
Too much work, not enough play.
For a guy who's not a big reader, that was a lot of reading. That was impressive. Thank you.
Well, you know, I got all of it down mostly. I just kind of wing it except for your bio, and I read that like 5 times coming into it. So, you know, I always have to practice because the old dyslexia slips up every once in a while. I'm in certain psychiatrists and or interchange psychotherapists and psycho. Anyway, let's move on. So let's get to kick things off. We were talking just a couple seconds before we came on the show, and you got your favorite play quote. Lay it on me so we can kick off the show.
Here it is. Play is like toothpaste. It should be used at least twice a day for a healthy smile. There you go.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
There you go.
So you wrote a book, Permission to Play, and we're on here talking about ADHD and play. How the hell did this come about?
So, you know that you and I, this all started because of you, Jeff Copper. When I came down to what's now called the ADHD Professionals Conference about 4 years ago, I met David Gwerk, who, of course, is the big cheese over at ADCA, the ADD Coaching Academy. And I started taking his classes to become a certified coach. And during one of those, we had an exercise around our values, our personal values, and during that exercise, what came up for me was that the people that really were like my mentors and my heroes in my life were the ones that really valued play and encouraged that in my life. And I just remember the conversation with, you know how David can get very excitable, and he
yes.
just thought that was the best thing in the world. And so I started on in the process of just doing all the research I possibly could, because it made such sense to me that play and ADHD were absolutely connected, because whenever I was playing, I really was at my best. And not only because I was having fun, but because I was paying attention, I was very motivated, it was easy to keep things going for me, whereas when ADHD was more obvious in my life, you know, I had a hard time getting motivated to even start anything, and usually by the time I was 3/4 of the way done, I was finished and I didn't want to complete things, and, you know, and things would irritate me, and, you know, I was more impulsive, and all of those things that go with ADHD, so they're not there when I was playing, and playing was, you know, all kinds of play, not just out running around having fun. So I did all the research. I will tell everybody so that, you know, they can at some point thank me, but my first iteration of this book was a painful, very painful, almost like a textbook. It was all the stuff that I had learned, which was really interesting to me, but it was all just stuff.
Yep.
And then I really decided that, you know, if this was going to be for an ADHD audience, it had to be written in a style that visually and word-wise, layout-wise, was going to be easy to read, interesting to read, captivating their attention. So there's a lot of color in this book. There are a lot of graphics. There are some surprise elements in the book. There are some questionnaires. There's some little tips and things like that. All the sections are very short. So it's a very easy read. I've already tested it on a few people. and people are, you know, it's about 150 pages. It's it's a quick read, and it's meant to be very compelling. So I have to give a little plug for the world's best graphics, layout, cover designer, Morgan Pickard, who was a gem. He's the one who really helped me to make my vision of what this book was going to be happen because, as you know, I can write the words,
yep.
but I can't make it pretty.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah. So
well,
the book is just a ton of fun. But and of course, I have to say that through doing that over the last, like, 3 or 4 years, I tell everybody, like, I have the best job in the world. Because what is better than being the person who focuses on play? You have to see everything through that lens. So when everybody else is moaning and groaning about things, I'm looking at the silliness in things or whatever's light about it. And it just makes everything more fun.
It really, really does. And I just, let's just kind of, you correct me if I'm wrong here a little bit, or kind of frame it the one too, but one of the things, in interviewing all the experts over the years, I kind of simplify ADHD down to, in its most simple form, is those with ADHD are addicted to dopamine. If you get it, you do it. If you don't get it, you don't do it. And if you are getting, your issue is not actually, like, paying attention to it. It's actually stopping. So if you're a kid playing with ADHD playing a computer game, your issue is not playing the game. It's actually getting up and stopping when it's time. And if we just frame ADHD as a dopamine addiction, and then you can start listening to all this, you know, I'm a big Barkley fan, the self-regulation is how do you walk away from the addiction and how do you engage that stuff. And one of the things that, you know, Kirsten, I've just learned from you in watching this play thing, and you're talking about it in arousal and kind of getting you to go forward, because I do a lot of presentations on boredom. And the fact that, you know, long-term boredom leads to depression, lower arousals, and those with ADHD refuse to be bored. And I was giving my presentation on boredom at the CHAD conference in New Orleans, and when I got done, a woman walks up and I talked about how those with ADHD, they're physically uncomfortable when they're bored, and they're motivated to escape the plight. And she's like, I got this phone call from the school, and I'm in the principal's office, and they bring my son in, and the principal says, you know, what was going on in class? He goes, I was bored, and the next thing I knew, I was here. And she says, well, he forgot the part where he mooned the class. to escape that. And the reason I think this is a really important topic is, and you and I, we did a video on this a couple years ago. When we talk about play, we're not really always talking about giggly kind of play. It's that creative form of things that kind of get you going. And I know a lot of my boredom presentations, I'm talking about, well, how do you stave off boredom? And you, like, play. And I kind of got this from you, is like, if you're, you know, if somebody who's doing cold calls and it's really kind of boring, try to weave in the word supercalifragilisticexpialidocious in a call. If you're playing that game, it kind of juices that stuff up so you can kind of do it. So to me, it's been a long time coming, but it really makes a lot of sense why play and ADHD really go hand in hand and why somebody should give everybody permission to play. So you want to comment on that?
Absolutely. First, I do want to tell you, I have a section of my book called Bored to Ideas, which is a combination of tears and ideas, because absolutely what you're saying, you know, most of your listeners probably know that with ADHD, there is less dopamine, and we actually need more dopamine to activate the frontal lobe of our brain. And so it is like an addiction. You want to feel lit up or on. And so we do what it takes. Some people will turn to drugs. Other people turn to things like Alan Brown. He turns to racing motorcycles now because that gets him going, or other like risky, high thrill kinds of activities. But in our day-to-day life, even, we need to have whatever activates the dopamine system in our brain. Some people use food because there are certain foods that will do that. And we know that dopamine is called the feel-good transmitter. So when you think about things that make you feel good, and it can be, you know, sex if you're an adult, and it can be eating something really delicious, it can be having fun with your friends, it can be creating something new. There are a whole bunch of different ways, types of play personalities.
Yep.
And so I can tell you, like, chocolate cake really gets my brain going and I love it, but it's a quick dive after that. So it only
happens
for a short period of time. But you know that exercise gets the dopamine going.
Yep.
And I know that when I'm creating something new that gets me really excited, that gets the dopamine going for me. And when we're bored, we want that stimulation. And so while we think of that as a horrible state of being, sometimes that's when we get our best inspirations because we're really desperate to get the dopamine activated.
So yeah, so long as it's the good side, not the bad side, because you know, mooning the class, yeah, and you're in the principal's office, it can lead to some tough things. So, Kirsten, I want to go to break real quick, but I want to just kind of comment on one thing, just kind of before we run into that. Totally ADD just released a 5-hour DVD set on ADHD medications, and it was fascinating because in that, Rick Green did some really good, he had some really good stuff in there. But one of the things he talks about is that by adulthood, everybody with ADHD is self-medicating, whether they know it or not. So
exactly.
They're doing something. It was interesting to me because Gina Perra was actually quoting that, saying, you know, a long time ago, like, smoking is a really good delivery system for nicotine, which is great. It helps you pay attention in the short term, although it's got some really bad long-term side effects. And she started talking about how many with ADHD who smoked when they were younger didn't really realize it, but it was like taking their stimulus and kind of going forward. And the reason I'm saying that, when we come back from the break, I want to talk a little bit more about this, is that if you're not doing that stuff, you're going to get it somehow. And why not do it with play? Because it's a healthy thing that's very creative and kind of gets you kind of moving in the right direction. So we'll dig into that a little bit deeper when we come back. But if you're listening to the show, you need to go check out playdhd.com. And that's Kirsten's website. She's got a lot of great stuff there. You should find the links to be able to go get the book, ADHD Permission to Play, or you can go to Amazon.com to grab it there. So with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Looking for a new way to manage your ADHD or ADD? A new clinical trial is testing an investigational medicine for adults with ADHD. The medication is not a stimulant. There's no cost to participate, and health insurance is not required. If you've been diagnosed with ADHD and want to learn more, visit www.measureadhd.com or call 866-985-0330. That's measureadhd.com or 866-985-0330.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, and we're here with Kirsten Milliken, and she's officially getting all adults and kids out there with ADHD permission to play. Before the break, we were kind of teeing some things up. I just want to kind of insert this. You know, Kirsten, years ago, God, Attention Talk Radio was first started, I interviewed Dr. Sydney Zintel. She's an educator at Purdue University, and she was talking about when you're teaching kids with ADHD, you got to take things to an extreme. So it's not that a kid was sitting there and scratched his nose. It's he stuck his finger up to the third knuckle and pulled out a booger that was 6 feet long and it was funny because I was like, wow, that talk about just jazzing things up a little bit to get kids into it and exciting. And that's a little bit of just playing around with the stories to engage the kids to kind of to activate and kind of play what's going on. And I think that it's a really good illustration of there should be more focus on play, both at work and at school, as a means to keep arousal up and motivation to learn. So, you know, comment on that?
Absolutely. Yeah, obviously in school, and you know, there's been a lot of talk about the fact that we're taking recess out and we're taking all the arts and things like that out, really all the playful activities that kids have in school. And not only does it you know, cause problems with their learning, but in all other areas, because play is not just about your academic learning. I mean, part of your job in school is to learn good social skills and to learn self-management. There are a lot of things that we're learning through play, and if play is taken out of this large part of their day once they get into school, then their brains are not developing to the potential that they're capable of. And then, you know, I think we've always focused on it for kids, and now I think that there are a lot of bigger companies who are starting to realize how important having play is for motivating employees. And so companies like Google that have their 20% time where they allow their employees to go in and create whatever it is that they're interested in as long as it's something related, you know, to their work at Google. And that could be very playful for them. There's another company that I often refer to, IDEO, which is a design company, and they have these big brainstorming sessions when they're in the design process, and they have all these great rules. There's, you know, they're looking for quantity and not quality. There are no bad ideas. They have to build on one another's ideas. And there is no idea that's too outrageous, and what they actually find is sometimes when people come up with outrageous ideas, by including them, they come up with much more interesting design ideas. So, and of course, there are a lot of other companies. I happen to work in a co-working space part-time. There are a lot of co-working spaces that keep the people that work there engaged by having very playful environments, having more social activities, things like this. The one that I'm at, we have snack time every day. So I don't know if you remember snack time when you were young.
I get
snack time in the afternoon, right, when my brain is starting to kind of wind down at 2 o'clock. So, so it's a little social hour, a little bit of we usually have some healthy foods. It's very playful. We're having a good time. And then when we've all got our brains juiced up and back in the dopamine pathway, we go back to work for a little while longer. So it's important at all ages.
Your comment just brought up a flood of stuff. It's like, you know, if you ever watch – like Animal Planet, just in the, when they got like, you know, they got the little cubs, the bear cubs and stuff, they're always playing with each other because that they're playing because they're learning, or watching like cats, you know, they're learning to pounce and really kind of hunt. That's a form of play, and play is really all about executive functioning. When you're doing stuff, it's about planning, sequencing, organizing, kind of getting it wrong. And one of the things that I've learned about play is it's really not about the outcome so much. It's really the means of just experimenting, kind of try it this way, try it that way, until you kind of figure out what works, which sounds an awful lot like what my coaching practice is all about, because we excavate AHA daily, because I'm not so much into the solution. But if you can see it differently and discover that solution, it can be amazing. And the process to discover things is a trial and error process. You were talking about Google with 20% time just kind of screwing around. The Post-it note came about at 3M because their employees were supposed to play around with things. I mean, just do the same thing for 10% of the day, and they had this glue that wouldn't rip stuff off the wall, but it wouldn't really adhere to anything, and all of a sudden the Post-it was born. So I want to highlight that to an extent, but one of the keys is really play is really not about pressure. And it's really about just that creativity stuff. And my mom had an insightful concept one time. She says, you know, a lot of creativity went out when the smoking rooms left, because people used to take breaks and they just would go out there and chit-chat about what was going on. There was no outcome that needed to be. You're just taking a break, getting a little bit of a dopamine boost by taking in the nicotine. And she described there's a lot of great ideas that just kind of came about by people talking and playing in the smoking area with no intended means. And so I'm trying to really emphasize that pressure for outcome really paralyzes our creativity, and play is a big part of that, which is, I think, really important to give people permission to play. So you want to talk about your thoughts on that?
Yep, absolutely. So, I mean, one of the things that I talk about in the book are some of the characteristics of play, and one of those is that play is done not for the end goal, but simply for the enjoyment of the process. And that, and one of the examples I give is, you know, if you have a boss who says to you, I need you to go work on this task and get to the goal of, you know, achieving such and such revenue. And I can tell you that I had that boss. Or if you have a goal that says, you know, a boss that says to you, look, here's this problem. I need you to go play around with it and see what you come up with. totally different mindset. One is really about, you know, being curious and exploring and engaging, as you said, in the process of it. The other one, mm-hmm. the work one, is really about focusing on meeting a goal. And that puts more pressure on us, and we're looking for the most efficient, straightest line, and sometimes we miss really what could be first more enjoyable and second maybe more effective as a solution. So, yeah. So when you're thinking about play, you know, if you're driving someplace, it's not about when are we going to get there. It's about what are we going to see on the way? Can we go a different way? You know, what's down this street, and can we still get there if we go this way? We've never gone that way before. So,
Touche. I tell you what, I need to run to another break real quick. Let's kind of hold that thought. We'll come back. Everybody, it's www.playdhd.com, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
A new study is seeking adults 18 to 55 who have been diagnosed with ADHD or ADD. The study will examine the effects of an investigational medicine on symptoms of ADHD. The medicine is not a stimulant and works differently than currently approved ADHD medications. To learn more, visit www.measureadhd.com or call 866-985-0330. That's measureadhd.com or 866-985-0330.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution. Misunderstand attention and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Kirsten Milliken, officially giving you permission to proceed with the launch of her new book. Kirsten, we talked a lot about the need for play, particularly for those ADHD, how it helps its creativity, reduces pressure and all that kind of stuff. I think one of the keys is what I like to do sometimes, it's one thing to talk about it, but the question really is how do you do it? And I think how do you get that playful mindset, and how do you actually figure out ways to take things, to make them fun and to play or to make time to play? What are your thoughts on that?
So one of the things, there are a number of different things that I suggest in the book. One of them is, you know, being really conscientious about looking at your habits when things are boring or difficult for you and trying to replace those habits. But one of the really simple ways is to start by thinking about your play history. Like, what kind of play did you do as a kid? Because studies show that the way that we played as kids is very related to how we play as adults. And for instance, so when I was a kid, one of my favorite things to do was to go into this giant wooden chest that my grandmother had that was filled with all of her old, like, party gowns and gloves mm-hmm. and hats and all kinds of stuff. And I loved dressing up in these vintage dresses and just walking around the house. It was tons of fun for me. And as anybody who knows me knows, I have a thing about hats and feathers and kind of dressing up and having fun. So, and at work, my coworkers will tell you that they can tell when I've had a difficult day or I'm really tired during the day because I'm way more dressed up on those days, because that's how I kind of get the dopamine going for me is mm-hmm. by dressing up. So in order to figure out how to play, look at your play history. How did you used to play as a kid? And sometimes it's not as obvious as the example that I gave. And then in the book, I list that there are 9 different play personalities. And there are personalities like the artist or the performer, the joker, The kinesthete, somebody who likes to move a lot, the competitor. And so knowing which play personality you fall under, or play personalities, because it's not usually just one, gives you kind of a head start. So if you know that you're somebody who likes to play as the artist, then you can start to create a list of things that you like to do artistically and keep that list for yourself. I have clients of mine who use their apps on their phone to keep a list, like their go-to list, so that when they've got a free moment, they can just go to the list and find something playful to do that will take up whatever amount of time they've got. And likewise, like when we're bored or we're feeling irritated because things aren't going our way, that's usually not the time when we're going to generate good ideas about play.
Yep.
So having that list there makes it that it's one less barrier you've got to face, so that you can get your brain reactivated, get the dopamine going again. So you know, I can keep on saying, read the book. but figure out what kind of play. I mean, most of us can figure out what kinds of play we like to have anyway. This is, you know, it's another template to figure that out. But figure out what kinds of play you like to have and keep that list going. Look up events in your area of things that you like to do so that you know. I can tell you on Thursday night, my local paper comes out with things to do for the week, and my kids and I come up with a list of what we're going to do on the weekends to have fun. So we've got those things to go to in advance. You know, look at what upcoming concerts there are, who's available to go and do things with you. But having that plan for your play is really important. And not only that, I mean, you also want to make sure that you're incorporating that just on a regular basis into your routines, because you don't want to wait until you're having that moment of crisis to feel like you need to activate your brain with play. You want to have that on a regular basis so that your mood just naturally is lighter so that the dopamine is going, so that when you're faced with a difficult task, it's not going to be as hard because you've kind of front-loaded yourself with some fun.
Yeah, as I'm listening to you, I had a couple of things that it's almost like plays like a lifestyle and a mindset. You need to kind of go about your life so you've got your list, you've got that stuff, and know what you go to and focus in on how you're going to bring play in your life on almost a 24/7 basis to kind of keep you stimulated. And I think that's a great way of approaching life if you've got ADD to try to keep yourself engaged. I mean, it makes all the sense in the world.
Well, so you make a good point, which I should have brought up earlier, but you did for me beautifully, is that play really isn't about the activity that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's about your mindset. So I know plenty of kids who hate playing kickball, right? Because their mindset about it is that this sucks. I'm going to get hit with this ball and it's going to hurt. Whereas some other kids love it. They just love the thrill of dodging the ball and kicking it and trying to get other people out. Same game, but one person thinks it's play and the other person doesn't. And again, it's because of mindset. The same thing as adults. You know, I think that writing and creating that book was really fun and engaging most of the time. A lot of people I know don't really care for doing that much writing. So it's all in how you approach something. And that is true for anything that we do.
It is. It really, really is. So, need to pull this thing together, but I got to go back and I got to tell the story. So a second ago, you were talking about the nine different play personalities, and so I'm at what's now the professional, the professional coaches conference, and professionals whatever conference put on by the ACO. But we're there, and you had asked me to be on a panel with play, and I'm going into the stuff with Elaine Taylor Kloss and Alan Brown and whatever. We get up there and you got this thing, Rochambeau. So we get up in this room, you're supposed to partner up with somebody and you play Rochambeau and rock, paper, scissors, same thing, just different words. And the winner goes on and plays other winners until we get you a Rochambeau champion in the world, in the room. And it was funny because I didn't even know about play personalities at that point in time, but just to digress, as an athlete, I was the competitor. That's where I'm coming from all the time.
Okay, you got to tell them how you were the competitor.
Well, and I am.
In
so,
that game.
So I'm, as soon as I lose, I'm like, wait a second, this is a game of chance. So I'm going to partner with my partner that beat me. And so everybody's walking around in the room and did this, and I'm like, you don't want to play too many times because the law of averages are you're going to lose at some point in time. So I'm grabbing her and pulling her away from the crowd. I'm like, we're going to wait until there's only one person left in the room, so we're going to go right to the finals.
And that was a strategy because I was the competitor at the time. It was a game that was being played, but I was like, we're going to get a second. And I'm going to claim I got beat by second. I got third, fourth. And so we end up kind of going through the process. And then you get up at the end of it and you start talking about this stuff. And I get up and go, well, I'm the competitor because I was I knew what I was doing in the middle of it. I mean, as soon as I lost, like, no, we're going to do this thing because I was trying to crack the code. So anyway, that's how I played growing up. I mean, it was all about beating the game or beating the people. So that's kind of how that plays out for everybody. And I was just sitting there when you were going, I'm like, oh, my God, that's what happened. So
there
it was a good
time.
It was. We had a great time on that panel. One of my things when I do presentations, I always like to do them with other people because I love being social. So
that
to me was like the ideal presentation because I think there were five of us up there. And everybody in the room got up and played that game. It was so much fun.
Yep, yep.
Yeah,
which actually kind of goes back to something that's interesting is, you know, Kirsten, I'm the guy that doesn't like to write, and Tension Talk Radio is, you know, everybody comes on here, usually they kind of know what the first question is, but the rest of it, I have somewhere where I want to go with it, but it's really not there. And it's interesting to me because I really want to start doing more presentations where I'm doing it with somebody and you're kind of playing where you've got a loose outline, but you've got to go back and it's ad hoc. And I think, I mean, for me, I do so much better in those environments if I've got somebody to play with on stage when I'm presenting the material. And so often we don't even think about that. And that goes back to that playful mindset of how can I take this and make it fun and make it playful. And the one thing that I know is that whenever I'm on playing with somebody the right way, usually the content's pretty good just because we're mixing the creativity and the play, and it's coming through in a real positive way. So I just had to throw that in because it's
well,
it's,
I have to give you a plug then. So everybody needs to go back and find the episodes where you and I, it was just you and I, and not because I was a guest on the show, but because we were having a conversation. I think there are like two or three of those episodes, and you probably remember those, the names of them better than I do because you remember all that stuff. But go ahead.
Like the point counterpoint ones where we're like the Babel thing where you take a side and I take a side and we were just kind of going at each other.
Those were fun.
There
was a couple of other ones where we were just having conversations about. There was one on procrastination, I think, that we did.
Yep.
There was one on but if people can go back and listen to those were some of my favorites because they were very conversational. And the intention was not that I was the guest. It was that we were just having these conversations about whatever the topic was. Those were wonderful. So absolutely, you're very playful in those situations, I think.
It's funny because we have Ari Tuchman on a lot because over the years, I know Ari, and we do shows right now where I'll come up with a line. It's not even a sentence. It's a phrase with an idea, and I'll email it to him, and he goes, oh, I'm in. And so we've done a couple of times, and usually we end up learning something from each other in that process. Like, you know, I didn't really think about that. You know, the psychologist and the coach kind of going back and forth. And it's really is playful. I mean, there is a notion of something that we've got kind of going with it, but it is a little bit organic, and it's not scripted. And these things just come out of the side it's fun, it's playful, and I always learn something from those. Always. Without fail. So, we need to wrap this thing up. Any final comments or any words of wisdom or insights on play before close it down?
You know what? If your guests don't buy the book because I wrote it, they should buy the book because you're mentioned in it. So at least once, Jeff. And I know that your guests love you. So no, I just, you know, I want to give people permission to play. In fact, it's a prescription to play, really, because I'm a doctor.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
It is important.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like the medications and the exercise and sleep and diet and all the other things that we prescribe to people with ADHD to help them manage, play is one of those things that just, you know, it's fun, first of all. You know, one of my favorite things to say is it can be shared legally. and, you know, and it doesn't cost anything, depending on how you do it.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
And there can be long-term effects. It's something that you can do forever.
So we have to play here for a second before it closes out, okay? So you know that I do a lot of I'm big into exercise and ADHD. I do a lot of presentations on my background. I'm trying to coin be the guy who coined the phrase psycho-exercisologist. In part, here's your prescription for exercise, because if exercise came in a pill, it'd be the drug of the century. It's the single greatest thing that you can do for ADHD. So what is that for play? Psycho-playocologist?
Psycho-playocologist, huh? Well, here's the funny thing. People who work in the field of play are literally called play workers. Isn't that funny? That's pretty ironic to me. So... yeah, a play-ecologist. I don't know.
Like a play-ecologist.
Here's the term that I coined. I have, some people say they have gaydar. I have playdar.
There you go.
I can find play in any situation. So there you go.
Touche, there you go. So, all right, Kirsten, it's such a thrill to have you back on Attention Talk Radio. Everybody go check out playdhd.com and the book, ADHD Permission to Play. And so, Kirsten, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Jeff. Have a great night.
Yep. Hope you enjoyed it, everybody. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.